Optical Device Directorate reported that back in 2018, this market was worth nearly $3 billion. The latest figures have not been made public yet, and this amount is likely much higher this year. The surge in production in this sector is attributed to the hard work of knowledge-based firms and research institutions. Gas powers production, and oil greases the gears of the industry. Without gas and oil, most industries probably wouldn't thrive as they are today. The world consumes around 36 billion barrels of oil per year. Oil and gas are major industries in the energy market and play a significant role in the global economy as the world's primary fuel source. Meanwhile, the process and systems involved in producing and distributing oil and gas are highly complex. They require lots of money and state-of-the-art technology. Well, it is that part of the show where I should take a break and pass the action over to my very good friend and colleague out there in the field. Take it away.
Metro stations, airports, and stadiums. These are places filled with crowds. So are places such as important military facilities, as well as places such as parliament or embassies. Now, these places are strategic, so their entrance and exits should be observed carefully. In order to do this, some certain equipment are installed in these places. Not only that, this will also facilitate, getting into these places and out of them, provide security. Also, it has an effect on hygiene. So, today we are at a company that produces a sort of equipment that is related to this. Stay with us and let's find out what they have here. Iranian companies used to import these systems from foreign countries in the past. However, this caused some sorts of problem for them. One of them was that whenever their systems needed fixing, it was very costly and time-consuming. Now, this company has provided the ground for long-term services and post-production services for all customers. That includes two-year guarantees for all customers, plus 10-year services for everyone. High quality and reasonable prices. That's the main feature of the products that are manufactured in this company. But why? Well, they can produce equipment with a very lower price compared to foreign models, because this is a knowledge-based company. From software to hardware, every nook and cranny of these machines is produced here in Iran. And this enables them to modify their equipment or to produce them in any way they want. And that's the key to their success. A turnstile gate is one of their products. It's designed to be used in stadiums. This company has developed an application for football fans. So what can they do? They can buy tickets online. Then the application gives them a QR code. So when they want to enter the stadium, they just show their QR code and then they go through this gate. Initially, when they designed this, until this company designed this, no other company had the experience of producing an equipment like this. And football clubs back then were forced to import it from foreign companies, and that was very expensive. So this company just understood the market's need and started designing this equipment at a very lower price, but a quality that can compete with foreign models. Today, we have visited the first company to produce access control systems in Iran. Their key to success is high quality plus reasonable prices. That's it. So you might ask why. Well, they can produce these equipment from zero to 100, from software to hardware, all in all, in Iran. And that's what makes them different from others. And that's what makes them stand out. Thank you for watching the show. This was Bazaar's report from this company. See you next time.
Many thanks for that awesome report. Well, we're almost out of time, but before we go, let's have a quick look at the news and trends in the food and agricultural industry. Agriculture and horticulture are two of the major areas which the Ministry of Science and Technology has dedicated support packages for. And these aid packages have paid off with new innovative services and products offered in 12 agricultural fields. Some of these innovative services include creating online markets for buying and selling products, supplying inputs, and improving agricultural processes. Other technology has been created by knowledge-based companies that are now playing a colourful role in the agricultural value chain. Farmers are going high-tech as dronology is becoming more common in the cultivation of various crops. From crop spraying to gathering data, more and more farmers use drones to manage their plots. These flying machines also apply fertilizers, pollination, and even sow seeds in remote regions. Iran's agriculture ministry is encouraging the use of drones on farms by offering soft loans to farmers to help them pay for nearly 80% of purchasing costs. Well, that's it for today. Don't forget to give us your feedback. And you can also share your thoughts and ideas with us via email. We always enjoy hearing from you. I'm Samson Sees. Sees you in the next Bazaar.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام وقيل له صف لنا العاقل فقال عليه السلام هو الذي يضع الشيء مواضعه فقيل فصف لنا الجاهل فقال قد فعلت.
It was said to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, "Describe the wise to us." And he said, "The wise is one who places things in their proper positions." Then he was asked, "Describe the ignorant to us." And he said, "I have already done so."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. When we look at the universal persona of this divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, we find that among the different characteristics and aspects that the commander of the faithful Imam Ali had, one of the aspects was that he had a pure and beautiful and perfected heart. Now, of course, the heart has various different aspects and it has various different forces, whether it is anger or carnal desires or jealousy or greed or spirituality or love and kindness and mercy and all these different kind of emotions and moral and ethical characteristics. But it's interesting that we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam speaks about various different aspects of the heart, whether it's poverty, knowledge, greed or jealousy. But in one place he talks about something that might be related to the physical heart as compared to the metaphorical heart. In this one place, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "If hunger bothers the heart, feebleness will overpower it. And if the heart is indulged in overeating, it will be deprived of breathing." Now, it's quite interesting, but if we just take the physical, medical aspect of this, we will find that it is true in this aspect. For if your body becomes hungry, then you become feeble and weak. And on the other hand, if you are overeating pretty much constantly, you will eventually become deprived of breathing. Now, it's interesting. Hopefully, none of you have overeaten, but sometimes it happens, and you do overeat. And if for some reason you do end up overeating the next time around, try to remember this saying from Imam Ali. And it is true, when you end up overeating, it almost seems like you can't breathe. Breathing becomes hard. But on the other hand, of course, overeating on a constant, regular basis, not taking care of your health, of course, will deprive you of breathing, meaning that it can very well kill you. We know that in one of the traditions, we find that the stomach is the key to all diseases. Full stomach, excuse me, to be precise, is the key to all diseases. But here, it almost seems like there is many spiritual layers as well, which we really can't get into. But we just bring up one very simple point, and that is that if you indulge yourself in overeating, and we say that overeating perhaps can refer to the materialistic world, to this consumerism, to constantly want to buy something, this overeating, this overindulging, this israf and extravagance, as it is said in Arabic, it will deprive one of breathing, and the soul will begin to die. A very interesting and thought-provoking lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم فاجعل نفسي مطمئنة بقدرك راضية بقضائك.
O Allah, let me be happy and satisfied with that which Thou considers good for me. Let me agree with that which Thou decides for me. Let me passionately remember Thee and invoke Thee. Let me be in love with Thy pure and sincere friends. Let me be well-liked and respected on the earth and in the heavens. Let me be unruffled and well-composed in the midst of misfortunes. Let me be gratefully thankful in prosperity. Let me be mindful of much and more bounties. Let me ardently desire for the heart-warming meeting with Thee, well-equipped with piety to gain my end on the day of requital. Let me follow into the footsteps of Thy representatives. Let me disassociate myself from the mannerism of Thy enemies. Let me pass my time in this world by praising and glorifying Thee.
تبقى عيني بدمع مشتاقيا قد لسعت حية الهوى كبدي فلا تبيب لها ولا راغي
Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
The Salah of Imam Ali alayhi salam is breathtakingly amazing. How can it not be when the man performing it was born inside the house of God and was martyred inside the house of God? But not just any mosque, born in the best house of Allah and martyred in one of the greatest places of his worship. Salah is what shaped the life of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He loved it, excelled in it, felt no pain during it, and ascended high in its performance. The Quran speaks about his salah in chapter 5, verse 55. He gave his ring in charity whilst in ruku' and God said he has authority from Allah and his messenger. In Safin and in intense heat of the battle, Imam Ali alayhi salam kept looking towards the sky. Ibn Abbas tells him, "Oh Ali, what are you looking for?" Imam replied, "To see if it's time to pray." Ibn Abbas said to him, "We are too busy fighting." Imam defiantly answers with the reply of a human being in love with his creator. Why are we fighting them? This is to establish Salah. In the same battle, an incident occurred which some have questioned. A scholar once narrated that Imam alayhi salam was injured with part of an arrow that has struck his body. They were told he can only remove it during his Salah, since he is so connected to God. He would not feel any pain. After he finished his lecture, a man stood up and said to the scholar, "This story is nonsense. How can a human being not feel any pain when an arrow is removed from their body?" The scholar replied, "The Quran tells us that the women of Egypt were given a knife by Zulaykha. When Yusuf alayhi salam entered the hall, they began to cut their hands unknowingly due to the sheer beauty of this prophet. They did not feel what they were doing. This was the beauty of a human being. How about the beauty of God the Almighty? Ali is so mesmerized in Salah that he sees much more profound beauty and grandeur. How can he feel any pain?" This is why it is mentioned that when it was the time of Salah, Amir al-Mu'mineen became pale. And when asked why, he would say, "This is the time for the amanah, trust that God the Almighty presented to the heavens and the earth, but they refused to carry it and human beings accepted it. So how will I deal with it?" Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam lived his life for Tawheed. He was born and killed in the places of Tawheed. His mission, words, actions and guidance was all about monotheism. He saw Salah as the foundation of Tawheed. If we love Ali, if we look up to Ali, if we want to live our lives like Ali, then we have to be examining our Salah and not neglecting it. Let's look at our Salah. How do I perform it? Do I do it correctly? Am I able to focus on the words? Is there concentration? Is my wudu correct? How can I improve it? Seek the wasila of Mawla al-Muttaqeen. Embark on the journey of Salah improvement and be amongst those who attain the pleasure of God the Almighty.
Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Lovely listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the privilege and honor of being joined by Sister Salma Khalfan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you so very much for being with us, sharing your time with us.
The pleasure is mine.
Thank you. Do you think, from your experience of working with so many families in the community, that is it the case that if a woman does not pick up those skills from her family, because some families are really broken, then if she enters her family, then they're doomed and there's no hope for her? Or there is hope that perhaps she can learn from a certain stage onwards? Would you recommend couple counseling? Are these things helpful at all? And whether she can turn a new leaf to not repeat that vicious cycle of abusive families?
Yes, of course. Of course. They're all doors are open, you know, for improvement. Again, like it's a process of growth that keeps on happening. And if she is like really making the right steps, then she's empowered in the process. Like if she learns how to control her anger when she sees her spouse is so angry, then and she learns how to, you know, take the sweet morsel of anger, which is like appears like a mountain out there, then you see that she's empowered. And she's like, she gets that power in the family. Right. And it goes on, like the children also see the behavior of the parent, you know, in these kind of confrontations, and they learn how to respect in the process.
So it's important for the woman to pick her battles, you know, don't nitpick over everything and turn into an argument. Yeah. It's bound to happen when two people live so close to each other. There's bound to be conflict and disagreements, especially since they were raised in different families and backgrounds and mindsets. And I think that's very interesting that you said that sometimes just say, you know what, you're right, I'm wrong. Yeah. Let's not talk about this anymore.
There's an istilah on it. There's a kind of say, let's agree to disagree.
Yeah, let's just let it be. Yeah. And then if, like you said, if you chose the right man from the very beginning and he has an ounce of sense.
In fact, even that has a lot of challenges. Mm. Even if you do choose a spouse, the right spouse, you know, you overall generally choose, right? But there's so many like
details.
Yeah, details that you find out in the end that, oh my God, this is the same man. Yeah. But anyway, that's the challenge. And if you know, you go on your life doing the right things, the compassion sets in and that that love sets in. Maybe sometime later, if at the time that you're so full of energy and, you know, everything is so much at the age and the peak, then you'll feel that, oh, maybe you made a mistake. But when you go along being patient, you know, curbing your anger, things like that, then you come to realize, oh, it paid off. Yeah. I know of many couples who think that way and who realize that, you know, like their men not giving them attention, even if they promised them that they would take them out, for example, and the lady being all dressed up and waiting for the man, and he comes at 11, 12 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
But the woman just tells him that, I waited for you. That's it. I waited for you. Because you have to, like, talk to.
Yeah, communication
you can't just,
is so
keep
important.
On drinking and everything. Then, then you'll just
blow.
Yeah. So, well, you let me down, like, in a slow tone. You let me down. I waited for you. Then the man realizes, that tone was so, you know, serene and composed.
Yeah.
And he realizes
she didn't lash out. She has so much self-control.
Yeah.
She respects me still,
yes,
even
respect.
Though I hurt her.
Yeah, the adab should be there.
Yeah.
The adab should be maintained in every way. Even if you want to really, like, quarrel, say it with adab. That this is not a fair thing that you did.
That is so important. And God, it's so hard for that moment.
And, you know, the beautiful thing is that Allah forgives the mistakes of the couples. You know, like, it's not as if that if you do this, this is the perfect scenario. Huh? It's a perfect scenario. But if you don't do them and then you you know, apologize, like sometimes that I do, then I guess Allah is the returner. He returns. He returns you. He forgives you. And then you learn step by step. But a clever woman will think, uh-huh, what's the best that I could do? Exactly. Start it off with adab, her life with adab. Good etiquette, good akhlaq. Even if I want to say something of my decision, my choice, I will say it, but I'll say it in a beautiful way, with adab.
That's so
the
important.
Right words I'll choose. I'll never ever say a bad word to my husband so that I can regret it, like insulting each other. That's a very bad thing, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We are going to go for a short break, so stay tuned.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I guess this is very important empowerment that Islam brings about for a devoted, and like you kept saying, a smart Muslim lady, that through these aspects with which she has to grapple and struggle and wrestle and test and try herself so much, she achieves such a degree of growth, such a degree of proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such an extent of self-betterment, that I really can't think of any sort of empowerment more important than that. Because at the end of the day, why would we empower people so that they could be better people, so that they could contribute to society, to make the world a better place? Otherwise, if you're going to be useless about it,
and
what's
also
the point?
To climb the ladder of perfection, right? For themselves in this world and the hereafter. One of the other factors that I think we should talk about is love and mercy.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Love is something that is, you know, everywhere. It's like a spread around the world. That's the element that is so required. Allah also, you know, loves. In the Quran, he mentions Allah, in Allah yuhibbu tawwabin, in Allah yuhibbu sabirin, in Allah yuhibbu mutatahirin, in Allah yuhibbu muhsinin.
He loves the repentance.
Yeah, he loves,
and
you
the
know,
patient.
He says that Muhammad is coming. That Muhammad, haliddin illa al-hub,
is religion, anything but love. Beautiful.
Because you climb that ladder of perfection, and that is when you get near to Allah's good qualities that makes you give out that positive energy of
it
love.
It reflects.
Yeah, it reflects. Your manifestation of that, the quality of love. And one of the name of Allah is Wud, Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud. And
what
you know, Mawadda,
mean?
You know, like Mawadda and Rahma should be between a spouse, right? That love and mercy.
Right.
So Wud is a two-way street. Like you want Allah to love you, and you also want to love Allah, Ashik and Ma'ashuk, like, you know. So here, like...
So, Al-Wadud, which is the name of Allah, basically means the love giver.
To enhance love also, it's a good zikr to recite to enhance love among the people. And of course, we need this zikr so much because we want Allah to love us in that perfect way. Of course, Allah loves us, but you know that that a love, that the special mercy.
Special kind of love,
So that is a beautiful thing to ask for. You know, naturally, a woman has this emotionality in her, but she sometimes, you know, is reckless about it, the emotionality, and it takes
it
her
gets out of hand.
Frustrated, angry, because emotional. So intellectual emotionality is very important when to use your emotionality the right way. So as we said, respect should be there, but love and mercy should also be there. So sometimes, you know, we don't know how to draw the line between them. Yeah, we feel if we respect somebody, we can't show them love.
We have to show
them love.
We're scared
also.
Of getting intimate.
Yeah. So love to show is so important. Love is supposed to be shown in different ways, okay? Love should be shown in words. Love should be shown in actions. Love also can be shown in a very beautiful way through your creativity. Like when you go to somebody's house for, as guests, if they cook the best food for you, you'd love them.
Now you feel so loved.
So this is how a man more so, because he comes hungry and tired at home and everything.
Sure.
And if he turns to the, you know, hygienic food, and the food that is rightly balanced and what he loves also. So it increases that appreciated him.
Yeah.
And the wife has shown love to him, and he will even return back that love.
Because he will really feel like, oh, she spent the last 3 hours of her day really thinking about me and putting energy, time and effort into making something that would fill my tummy and give me strength. Yeah. And it's something that I love. Yeah. You know, it's such a wonderful display of love.
Yeah, and he would feel like going out that, you know, eating with his friends or something. If he knows that the wife does everything she can to make him happy, even if the wife should ask him, the morning, what do you feel like eating?
Yeah.
Although there's a rewire to say that eat what your wife's like.
Yeah,
you know?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's because they feel like, you know, they do so much work and energy and things like that. So, but it's good for a wife to be smart enough to say that, you know, like, please tell us, tell me what you feel like tomorrow, for example. If it's very on the spot for the same day, maybe he goes very early or something like that, and the parent is busy with the children. Then she can ask him a day before, okay, what do you want me to make tomorrow? What do you like? What's important for you? It makes the intimacy better when you go out, you know, together with your family. It makes it a very atmosphere of love, you know, is brought about. So love is a two-way street, but it should be started more by the one who has that power more to give it.
Uh-huh.
And that's a woman. She is more emotional, but we said that she has to channel that emotionality in the right way. That is the intellectual emotionality, not that reckless emotionality. Impulsiveness or something like that, yeah. So, you know, with her children, she could be very intellectually emotional, but sometimes she lags behind with her husband. With her children, she'll know what to talk to them so that he cannot or she cannot develop this attitude, you know, or not to talk certain things in front of the children.
Mm.
So with her husband, she should also, you know,
mind these things,
very important. Mercy also.
Because sometimes marriage isn't always 50-50.
Yeah,
it's 20-80, you know? And sometimes that person is like at their worst. Sometimes I once came across this really interesting quote that you got to love your spouse on days that they don't seem very lovable. And that's mercy.
Yeah. It's like, you know, du'ay makarimul akhlaq. It's not that the akhlaq that teaches you to be good to the ones who are good to you.
Mm.
It's teach you to be good to the ones who are bad to you.
Awesome.
Sil man qata'ak wa'afu man haramak. Lusi le rahmi, the ones who does qati rahmi with you. Wa'afu man dhalamak.
Forgive them,
the ones who were oppressive to you.
Mm.
And wa'ati man haramak. Give them to the ones who deprived you. So that's makarimul akhlaq, which we are trained for. So that should be shown, I think. That's mercy. Mawadda and rahma. And Allah is teaching us this every time, right? All the chapters of the Quran begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. His mercy outweighs all his attributes, you know. The
for
mercy
sure.
is so beautiful. A merciful person is never in the loss. He's always in the gain. Even if the husband is, for example, not giving enough and receiving that mercy, the most he could do is feeling so ashamed of himself and keeping quiet. The fitrat is there. It'll tell him, now it's too much, you know. Just keep quiet. It's better. If you don't want to appreciate, keep quiet.
At least keep quiet.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But the love and mercy in the end, it provides beautiful fruits. And the woman is empowered. And you know what? The beautiful thing is that when a person gives love, not only do they get more reward, but they get more pleasure also. And if you have somebody to love, consider yourself as lucky. Because it's like a gift you're giving to Allah.
Mm.
Allah says, Al-Khalqu Ayalullah. Love my people also the same way that you know, you love yourself.
Mm.
Love my people. Very important to show your love.
It's so sad the way you see a lot of people that when they go into the society, they put up this facade.
Person doesn't realize that, oh my God, I'm being hypocritical. Outside you're so smiley and so good. You may be the winner outside. Everybody loves you. But inside your home, but it's the opposite in Islam. Islam wants you to be inside so beautiful and so like loving. Outside you don't talk anything. It's okay. It's not wajib when you
Yeah, exactly. Who are you trying to impress?
Yeah, exactly. And they wouldn't even, it doesn't even create that importance even to the person. You know, you're talking outside, if you're being your best, the person will think, okay, that's normal. Or maybe, okay.
Well, I'd say this was a very fruitful discussion, and I hope that there was some positive takeaway for our listeners. That's all the time we have for today's episode of Muslim Lady. But until another salam and greeting, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Limelight. What happened on and around January 6th was a conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election and to keep Trump in office as an illegitimate pretender to power, says John Nicholas, Washington correspondent, in an article published under the heading "Call January 6th What It Was, an Explicit Attempt to Stage a Coup." Stay tuned for more. Representative Mark Pocan recognized the significance of the language employed during last week's extraordinary primetime hearing of the Select Committee to investigate the January 6 attack on the United States Capitol, and he embraced it. "This was not a spontaneous mob attack on the U.S. Capitol," said the Democratic representative from South Central Wisconsin's 2nd District, adding, "It was an explicit attempt to stage a coup and override a free and fair election." Exactly. For too long, pundits and political leaders adopted cautious language in describing the deadly January 6, 2021 assault on the Capitol by supporters of Donald Trump. That was a mistake that January 6 committee chair Benny Thompson, D. Mississippi, rectified recently. What happened on and around January 6 was a conspiracy to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election and to keep Trump in office as an illegitimate pretender to power. Donald Trump was at the center of that conspiracy, explained Thompson, who then said what every member of Congress should have said on the day that Trump called upon his supporters to fight like hell to position him not as an elected president, but as an authoritarian strongman who had seized power. Any legal jargon you hear about seditious conspiracy, obstruction of an official proceeding, conspiracy to defraud the United States boils down to this. January 6 was the culmination of an attempt coup. A brazen attempt, as one writer put it shortly after January 6, to overthrow the government. The violence was no accident. It represented Trump's last stand, most desperate chance to hold the transfer of power, unquote. With those words, Thompson brought clarity to a conversation. What happened on January 6 was always an attempt coup. Now, finally, the chairman of the congressional committee that has been charged with getting to the bottom of a conspiracy has labeled it as such. This matters because until the investigators get the language right, America cannot have an honest discussion of what happened on the day that supporters of a man who had lost the 2020 election by 7 million votes stormed the U.S. Capitol in a violent effort to prevent the certification of the Electoral College votes that were to confirm that defeat. Ruth Ben Gilad, the scholar of fascism and authoritarian leaders who teaches history at New York University, immediately recognized the significance of the committee chair's statement. Chairman Thompson for calling it a coup, that's great, she said. Some still call it a riot, which does not capture the larger political design of overturning our democracy, she added. Trump's defenders mocked the turn of phrase and the hearings in general, but there was no denying the accuracy of the term that Thompson employed. Polity Fact, an independent fact-checking operation run by the Poynter Institute, noted Thompson's coup reference and pointed out that the coup data project at the University of Illinois Klein Center for Advanced Social Research, which monitors coups around the world, had determined that the storming of the Capitol was an attempt coup data, an organized, illegal attempt to intervene in the presidential transition by displacing the power of Congress to certify the election. It was a coup attempt. Referring to it as such opens a new chapter in the discussion of the high crimes that Donald Trump and his allies committed on January 6, 2021.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
My name is Sheikh Zayed Al-Salami.
A few years ago, I started the course of wanting to commentate on a very important book that I believe is something that would be useful for everyone who reads it, and that is the book Mafatih Al-Hayat, written by Ayatollah Al-Uzma Al-Sheikh Jawadi Amuli. We spoke about dealing with animals, and we mentioned some of the things regarding what kind of animals should be kept, what kind of animals should not be kept. One way of benefiting from animals is that they are used for means of carrying, for means of transport. That also means that there are certain adab that must be observed when you are using an animal for means of transport or means of carrying. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says, ثَلَاثٌ مِن نِعَمِ الدُّنْيَا. There are three things that are of the blessings of dunya. Even though dunya has no blessings, a comfortable, mountable animal. That is comfortable. That's one of the blessings of dunya. And a righteous, pious wife. وَالْمَنْزِلُ الْوَاسِعُ. And a large expanded house. And a large house. These are three of the blessings of dunya. Imam Sadiq salamullahi alayhi says, ways of a mu'min being happy, or a happy side, a happy element of a believer, is that they have an animal that they are able to mount in order to fulfill their needs and also fulfill the needs of their fellow brethren. ويقضي عليها حقوق إخوانه. What a beautiful hadith. So an animal that is mountable, or that can be used for carrying things or for riding, is number one considered to be a zina, an adornment of this dunya, a blessing of this dunya, and also a way of sa'ada, a way of happiness of a believer. Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi always reminds us that we need to keep that humility. that, you know, although you might have a beautiful, very strong, original breed of a horse or a camel, but he then says, remember that you need to have tawadu and you need to be humble. And he says, let me inform you of five things that if someone was to have them, they would not be a haughty person, a mutakabbir person. And he then says that he mounts he rides a donkey, yarkab al-himar. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would never be ashamed from riding a donkey. He would see that to be a means of showing humility and humbleness. Speaking about usage of and benefiting from animals, you know, we know the verse that in the Holy Quran that says, you know, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, and prepare for them, you know, when you as a Muslim, you're trying to prepare yourself against the enemy. Enemy is attacking you. You need to prepare yourself. You need to be ready in the sense of military jihad. وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. You know, here the continuation of the verse speaks about رِبَاطُ الْخَيْلِ, speaks about preparing horses and making sure that you have horses that you are able to use in battle and things like that. Now, in that sense, that might had been, would be applicable in that time. But the beginning of the ayah, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ, basically tells us that whatever would be a means of being used to defend the territory of Muslim land, then that should be prepared, whether it be an animal or any other kind of military instruments that would secure the requirements and the needs.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatih al Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatihul Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc. But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree. Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam, who has stressed out the reward for praying, has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
There are many ahadith that speak about وَدِينَارٌ يَنْفِقُهُ الرَّجُلْ عَلَى دَابَتِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that you are using your daba fi سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. We can understand this in the sense of jihad. We can also understand this in the sense of قَضَاء حَوَائِجْ or حُقُوق إِخْوَانِكُمْ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, which we've already mentioned as well. And this is exactly what Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli says, where the means and methods that should be used as a form of artillery, as a form of military instruments at the time of defending themselves and defending the Islamic territory if needed. Another point is when it comes to the topic of entertainment and sports. And of course, sports is good. We've discussed sports as far as it being good for your mental stability, it being good for your physical stamina, and using animals for sport benefits is also something encouraged in Islam. Here, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he says, any kind of entertainment of a believer is batil, except in disciplining or in teaching a horse and archery and in foreplaying with his wife, which is a kind of entertainment. فَإِنَّهُنَّ حَقْ. These are okay to do. The most loved of lahu, the most loved of entertainment in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is anything to do with al-khayl, with horses, and which means, of course, teaching them, disciplining them, playing with them, warrami, and archery as well. Here, we need to understand there are ad'iyah, there are supplications that are to be used at the time of you when you want to ride an animal, when you want to use an animal for carrying things or issues like that. Another very important point that needs to be mentioned here is when it comes to the issue of wanting to treat an animal in a positive way, when it comes to how you are able to find that level of entertainment, I will mention that in the next episode. But of course, it's an important point in observing certain etiquette, certain mannerism when it comes to the treating of animals. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi tahirin.
Driving past, walking fast to the field of dreams, hear the children scream.
There was The Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind. A momentary emotion, space spent in time.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran.